Well, James, it's nice to meet you.
Oh, pleasure as well.
So, in this first session, as I mentioned on the phone, I'm going to be collecting a little information, trying to understand your symptoms. And since you did mention that you were looking for someone who had a Christian spiritual worldview, in addition to doing the professional counseling, we definitely can incorporate that. So I may ask some questions, not just clinically, but also to understand your beliefs, your faith, and that kind of thing, so we can really relate on that level, if that's okay with you as well.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
So tell me a little bit about what's brought you in today.
Oh, a buddy of mine had recommended me over because had some issues with anger.
Okay, tell me a little bit about, when you say issues with anger, what does that mean for you?
What's going on is I've dealt with the situation of parents not being there, having to raise pretty much my younger siblings.
Wow.
Because of being the oldest. And also this thought process of, because I had to raise my siblings, I had to give up a lot of stuff in life that I should have had the opportunity to do. I've had, you know, basically give up my further education.
Oh, wow.
And work at an early age, so I didn't get the opportunities to do stuff that any normal kid should have been able to do.
I can't imagine all the different feelings that must go on with that. I know you mentioned anger.
Yeah.
But I mean, wow. I mean, in terms of the responsibilities of helping raise your siblings and just all the different things. And, you know, now being a middle-aged adult, those feelings just don't go away.
Yeah. And it's not like I can go back and take back that time, so to say.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned anger specifically. What types of reactions are you having that you're concerned about, that you're saying are angry?
Well, part of that, you know, too, is, you know, like, for example, when I'm seeing people going out and clubbing and stuff like that, it just reminds me of what I had to deal with growing up. Mm. And I'm like, why are they, if I can say it this way, wasting their life away when there's other issues that can be dealt with?
So you're suggesting it was your parents that were clubbing then that you're talking about? Oh, man. So on the one hand, if I heard you earlier, you said you felt like you were having to be the ultra-responsible kid ahead of, you know, your time, basically. And meanwhile, almost like they were irresponsible, or they permitted themselves to go out and, you know, you didn't get the permission to basically be a kid.
Right.
Wow. I could see where that would produce some anger. Like, you know, things, you use the word should too, that things should have been a certain way and they didn't seem to go as, you know, you thought they would have gone.
Oh, exactly.
And, you know, I think anger is especially a difficult feeling for many of us, like you were requesting the Christian counseling, because I think sometimes we have this belief that if I'm a quote-unquote good Christian, I won't get angry, I won't say I'm angry, I won't show anger, you know, that anger somehow like a forbidden emotion or something.
Pretty much.
What have you been taught about that in terms of your spiritual background?
Basically, you know, not to carry anger.
Okay, so almost like anger is like a heavy load and you're supposed to let go of it.
Right.
I'm wondering, has anyone ever talked with you about different types of anger? Because I think sometimes when we just use the word anger, it's as if it's one, it's all bad anger, or it's all unhealthy. But has anyone ever talked with you about the different types of anger? Like that anger sometimes can be healthy, sometimes it can be unhealthy, depending how it's manifested.
No.
So you've been having some struggle beating yourself up over being angry or upset over
right. Things
not being... Okay. Well, that's something, if you're open to, that we can definitely look at, because you're not the only one. I've had so many men and women that have really struggled, that said it really seems to clash with some of their faith issues of, wow, you know, why can't I just get rid of this anger? And a lot of times that's tied into people's belief systems about forgiveness, and I should be able to do this and do that. And it's especially hard when it's family. You mentioned about it was your parents.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it sounds like, you know, definitely there's some expectations, and especially when we're a kid growing up, that we have of our parents, and didn't turn out that way for you.
Oh, exactly. And like I said, I was the one that ended up raising my siblings.
Mm. So you're the oldest then?
Yeah.
Of all of them? And how many siblings did you have?
Four.
Wow. And you had to take care of all of them.
Yep.
And you said, meanwhile, your parents were not what they were supposed to be?
Exactly.
What was going on?
Basically, it was a situation of mom left. Mm-hmm. And she went out and did her own thing. And dad was working, and then when he wasn't working, he was out with the guys.
Wow, okay. And seeing that as a child, or like a junior parent, basically, taking care of the other ones, what was going through your head?
Well, number one, I didn't want to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
That went through my head. Number two, it's like, okay, the younger ones need someone around.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it has to be me.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like there's part of you that even at a young age was like, this isn't what a parent's supposed to be.
Right.
And then when you're saying it has to be me, even though obviously you probably love your brothers and sisters, I wonder if there's any resentment that played in the sense of has to, is like, I'm kind of stuck. I don't get to do the normal kid stuff.
Right.
So you're coming in wanting to process your anger. Where are you at with what kind of relationship you have with your mom and dad today, or versus what you want it to be or not to be?
Well, unfortunately, never heard back from mom again, even though did I want it that way? No. And dad's still doing his thing.
What does that mean exactly?
Same old as before.
Which was?
Work and then go always doing stuff with the guys.
So you used a phrase a little bit ago, you said, especially referring to your mom, you said it, but it wasn't what I would have wanted. What is it that you would want now? I know we can't go back to that, but where are you at right now with what you would want?
Well, idealistically, it would have been nice to have a relationship, but unfortunately, it wasn't feasible.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm wondering, since we're going to be doing some Christian counseling, sometimes what we see of our mother, father, or parental figures can help or hinder our relationship with the Lord. We can basically sometimes feel like, oh, if they're absent, does God even care about me? Or we can go to the other extreme and say, you know what? I thank God that He is present because I knew what it was like to not have anybody present. How did all you go through affect your relationship with God and stuff from childhood to now?
Well, from the things that I've learned in church, I learned that God was not that way. And so that was a good thing.
He was not specifically what way?
From the example I saw from my parents.
He was not what way, though, specifically?
That He wasn't going to leave me, and that He wasn't going to just basically hang me out to dry.
So He was present.
Right.
He was available.
And that I could go to Him once I had gotten knowledge of that.
So being present and being available are very important to you. So would you be open through our counseling process to any kind of exercises that would help facilitate your sense of just reminding yourself that while on the one hand you have these sad memories and these angry memories of biological mom and dad, that maybe we can invite the ever-present God into the situation to help heal some of that.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like your faith is a real strength for you.
Oh, it definitely is. You know, because who knows if it wasn't there what I might have ended up like.
That's true. That's true. So, and I think that's a good perspective that you have. Is so that even while you have a sense of anger and you wish you didn't, on the other hand, it could be worse. And again, I'm not trying in any way to minimize what you're going through, but we probably all know of situations of people that, like you said, you could have ended up certain ways like your parents.
Exactly.
So you managed to choose a different path. How did your faith help you towards that?
Well, first of all, that was a miracle of God because I really didn't come into the knowledge of God until I was in my mid-20s.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know, and that was about the time I was helping my youngest brother finish up high school.
What was significant in your mid-20s? It sounded like some type of transition happened.
Yeah. Basically, the transition that happened was a guy that I worked with, you know, was just talking. He was chit-chatting. He got to know me a little bit. Told him about my background. And then, you know, he kept talking to me every day. Showed real concern, real care. And then, you know, he invited me to come to church with him. And I'm like, well, I'm not doing nothing. I'll come check it out.
What's interesting is when you said he showed real care and concern, would you say, in other words, he was present?
Yeah.
Just like you found out the Lord was present?
Yep.
That's got to be a real powerful revelation, because it sounds like you felt your mom and dad were not present. Then all of a sudden, someone representing Christianity demonstrates in real life that he's present. Then you sense God's presence. How did you allow yourself to experience that when you hadn't before? I mean, that was something new. I can't imagine what that felt like.
Yeah, because I figured, you know, there's got to be something out there.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like there's got to be something better than this, right. What I've endured through with my family.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, that there's got to be something out there, and sure enough.
So in terms of what you'd like from here with your relationship with your parents, you said your mom's kind of on her own, dad's still doing his thing.
Yeah. And none of us have heard from mom, so.
Yeah. Sometimes we don't always get the apologies, the repentance, the people making amends that we wish. And that could be some of the hardest stuff to work through, especially when we're talking about anger and forgiveness. So that's something we can take a look at. And eventually, after we learn some certain skills in our sessions, we can maybe look at, I know for some people, kind of like giving them a space in the counseling session to say to almost like an empty chair or like their pretend mom or dad what they would need to, and letting them experience the freedom and the healing from the Lord in the moment has really made a big difference for a lot of people. Is that something you, at some point, maybe be open to?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And just to talk in terms of kind of the pros and cons of counseling, which you probably know, having already gone through the pains and the stresses of the stuff that you're describing, as we talk through some of this stuff, I definitely invite you to be as open with me as you want to be about kind of like how much you want to really experience or work through the stuff. So we can take it in as small or as big of doses as you like. So what I'm saying is I want to help you through the process, but I also want it to be in the way and timing that's best for you. I don't want to cause any further stress. I don't believe necessarily that spilling out massive emotions is necessarily the best way to go, or that really reliving, you know, there's some counselors out there that, oh, reliving and re-experiencing the stress is, I don't necessarily agree with that. I really believe that through our faith in God, through taking the steps with what you're comfortable, we can look at step by step. One of the things I have found that it's usually good to allow the process to go step by step rather than trying to rush through it and do it too fast. What's your understanding of the concept of forgiveness? I know all the stuff we're going to work on probably will touch on some of that. So I like to assess what that means to you, because I know people throw that word around and it means so many different things to different people.
Well, part of the concept that, you know, I've learned since I've been going to the church that, you know, I've been a part of since the guy at work introduced me to it, was, okay, you know, I know God has forgiven me.
Mm-hmm.
And that I should forgive others. which, yeah, I dig that concept, okay, but the hard part has been just letting go of the anger, because, you know, I've learned the fact that I had no control over what other people do, that I can only control what I do.
Yeah. You used an interesting phrase there. You said letting go. I know we hear that all the time. Let go and let God. But the fact is, letting go when it comes to anger, it doesn't mean that you never feel reasonable sadness over feeling let down that your mom and dad didn't, quote, measure up to what you thought a healthy mom and dad should be. I mean, it is normal to feel a letdown. It really is when you go through that. It's normal to have questions. It's normal to feel a host of different kinds of emotions as you're going through that. So I try to not so much use that word letting go, because I think that's where we get a false perception of that we do something and there's some finality of, when I've let go, I never feel anything again. And fact of the matter is, we forgive because we are going to have memories of it off and on. We forgive because there might be triggers certain days. We forgive because when we're a parent, we might remember what happened from our parents towards us. We forgive because, like you said, we remember what the Lord's done for us. But one of the things we'll work through in our counseling process is forgiveness isn't just a decision. Sometimes we sell the process short by, okay, I'll just make up my mind and my will. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to do this. I'm going to almost like pretend like my parents, like everything's good. No, we're not just talking about a logical decision. But what I hope is to go through in the counseling process, you know, walking alongside you with God's guidance and with some clinical techniques, the process. You know, for some people, that's a matter of several months. Some people, there's some discussion that needs to happen with the other party. Some people, there's just some real deep grief. Some people, there's just some surrender to the Lord in different ways. But again, it doesn't mean you won't ever feel those things again. And in fact, there may be some times in counseling sessions where you feel things rather strongly. And that's why I wanted to remind you that it's okay for you to let me know, like, whoa, this is getting to be too much.
All right.
In terms of Christian counseling, tell me a little bit about what your expectation of me would be in terms of when you were looking for a Christian counselor specifically and saw that on the insurance panel, what it is that you were hoping that would involve.
Well, just from what I know of and understanding, I was just looking at something that would be biblically based and that would agree with biblical beliefs.
Okay, so something that, while giving you some practical techniques for dealing with the anger, forgiveness, and the issues of the relationship with your parents, it would also use scripture in lining with the Christian beliefs.
Right.
And be consistent with that.
Yeah, because I wasn't looking to do anything of any, you know, other faith like Islam or Hindi or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, also being clear, that my license is as a professional clinical counselor. So we definitely can incorporate things that are consistent with your worldview and that are life-giving, that are helping you come to a healthier place, a place of freedom, where you feel like there's less baggage associated with the anger. But one of the things when you talk about incorporating scripture is I want to be clear that I'm definitely not going to try and be a substitute or a replacement of any sort for your local pastor. Nor will I do any kind of like discipleship type of thing or mentoring in that way. That if, you know, it would be advantageous for that. That's something I'll be glad if you want to sign a release of consent to consult with your pastor or consult with the men's ministry or anybody who you feel can be a support to you. But I also kind of know my place in terms of providing professional Christian counseling and then also making sure and support you in whatever you're going to be doing with the local church body and not trying to usurp that or get into doctrinal debates or anything like that. So just to be clear, we'll probably, you know, I try and stay away from debates over do you do this at your church or do I do this at my church, and more just looking at development of skills that would help you with the forgiveness and the healing.
Okay.
So how has the what you're calling anger, how has that impacted your day-to-day life at this point in time? Why is it a concern to you that you're wanting to come into counseling now?
Oh, because I don't want to be blowing up at people.
So you've been blowing up at people?
Yeah.
What does that look like? Like, how many days a week do you think you've had what you're calling a blow-up?
Once or twice.
And again, I don't want to make any assumptions, so that's why I ask a lot of questions here. Is when you're talking about blowing up, is that verbally going off? Is that punching a wall? Is that throwing something or stomping away? Or what is it you do?
Verbal.
Okay. So screaming, yelling, calling names, what kind of things are we doing verbally?
A lot of it is the yelling,
okay.
Screaming.
What settings is this happening in?
Oh, it's happened in different settings when I would see, you know, certain things. And
like?
One of the triggers is, like, for example, somebody else yelling at somebody. Or yelling at me, because it's like, wait a second here, that wasn't warranted. And the thing that triggered that was the memory of parents yelling at, you know, certain times when it really wasn't warranted.
That had to be hard, because you feel like on the one hand, as you said earlier, they weren't present, and God was present. The other gentleman who got you started with church was present. And then you're thinking, gosh, you guys aren't even present. And then when you are, you're yelling.
Yep.
That's quite a struggle.
Especially when, you know, they were drunk.
Mm-hmm. And that's difficult for a child to understand. How old were you at that time?
Oh, that happened all the way throughout.
I mean, that's hard for an adult to understand another adult with those behaviors, much less a child, and, yeah, to try and make sense of it.
Yeah.
So you said that you begin yelling lately a couple times a week, if I heard you right.
Yeah.
And who are you yelling at?
Oh, it's been different people. there was one instance where a co-worker just out of the blue just started yelling at another co-worker. And it's like, hold on here, buddy.
Mm-hmm. So you felt you needed to intervene because
right.
that the yelling coworker had overstepped the boundaries.
Right.
And, you know, it almost sounds to me that that's a pattern, too, that we'll have to look at, is that pattern of diving in to be the responsible one. When you were a kid, you had to be the responsible one for the other kids. Now, you know, like say on that job example you just gave, it's like, this yelling fool at work is going off, you know, needlessly, and it's like, oh, I better intervene.
Yeah, because really the other coworker didn't do anything, like I said, to warrant it.
Would you say that you're somewhat, in many settings, like the responsible one, the rescuer, the adult, the...
Yeah.
Grown up one, yeah. That can be frustrating too because there's a lot of times where people on the one hand are the helper and the fixer, but on the other hand, there's a lot of literature that shows over time they get really resentful and finally they just blow up and like, come on, you know, enough's enough. Do you ever get to that point where you just feel like on one hand, you like helping and fixing, and, you know, it's rewarding, but another hand, it's like, for God's sake, can't anybody do the right thing for themselves, or can't?
There's a frustration factor that gets there,
mm-hmm.
you know, because, like I said, I don't mind helping people at all,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, when you're yelling at a coworker over a pencil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, come on, man.
mm-hmm. So at work, where else has this been happening where you just end up really angry?
It's mainly just been at work.
Okay.
Because, you know, I live by myself and
mm-hmm.
and I don't want to lose my job.
Sure, sure. So that's another reason to control the anger.
Right.
Okay. Well, we will definitely, you know, let's go through some examples of things on the treatment plan that maybe we'll look at. So if I hear you right, you'll want to focus on kind of learning how to differentiate between that healthy anger, the anger that's a clue to something's not right here, what can I do for my part, but not to overwhelm myself or take on things that are going to lead me down a bad path, versus the unhealthy anger that really just feels out of control and stuck again.
Right.
And then we can explore some things about forgiveness. And when you talk about forgiveness, that may or may not mean reconciliation. You know, we will look at, because you're going to be my client here, what is best and healthiest for you. We'll look at eventually talking and planning about, as you work through this anger and forgiveness stuff, whether or not you want to ever pursue a relationship with your mom and dad. I think for a lot of people, the biggest struggle is when they're looking at things from a Bible perspective, you know, the scripture, love or honor your father and mother. And I've had other clients that have said, oh, well, how do I honor them? They abused me. How do I honor them? And as I say, you can honor the function that they happen to be mom or dad. But it doesn't mean you agree with their behavior. It doesn't mean you condone it. It doesn't mean that you like it. And it's okay to even get frustrated with it. So we'll definitely look at those things. So sounds like, you know, you're willing to look through the anger, manage other ways, and kind of work through the forgiveness parts of things.
Yep, that's correct.
So in terms of support systems towards that goal, besides here, do you have support systems like friends, relatives, people at the church or stuff that you believe can help you also and support through those goals as we work through counseling?
Oh, yeah. I've got some people at church.
Okay. And they are willing to walk the road with you, even though it's a bit of a process in terms of working through that. That's good. So they'll kind of endure and walk alongside you and be present, as we were talking about earlier.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And being present, I realize that on this journey, there may be times when you come in here very sad. There may be times as we're talking where you feel a sense of grief or let down. And there may be times you're angry or even angry with me, you know? But I want you to have the freedom for this to be a safe place where you can explore the emotions and things, but we can also invite God's presence into it. So.
All right.
And we talked, too, you mentioned about scriptures. One of the other things we offer, too, is prayer. Would you want to close the session in prayer? Is that okay if we do that?
Yeah, that's cool.
So, Lord, we just lift up this situation with my brother in Christ to you. He's saying that the anger's becoming unbearable. We're lifting up to you the process of this future counseling, as you're called in the Bible, the Mighty Counselor. We pray you guide every step of the way regarding helping us learn the difference between healthy and unhealthy anger, helping us allow you to be ever present, even in our day-to-day life, as we have these memories. Lord, Scripture says we forget not your benefits. We know you're a healer. We know that you're our strength. We know that the Bible says you're our high priest who's familiar with all kinds of stresses in life, but without sin. So you, your Holy Spirit, can walk alongside us in this journey. We ask you to grace us to not go faster or slower than the process you want. You're also called the potter. That means we're the clay. That it's not up to us to make ourselves non-angry or to make ourselves feel or act a certain way, but that you can take us through counseling, through church services, through day-to-day life, in any way you choose to make us and mold us into the people you want us to be. We give you this process, and we thank you in advance for who you're helping us become. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.